It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Good morning, Nancy. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano from sunny Florida. Sorry.
Shut up.
I know. I know. It's a thing. It's a thing.
What are you doing in Florida?
Anyway, listen, I will tell you that the Design Coach team has been on an absolute national, I don't know, like it's awesome in one hand, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I'm so fortunate that I have such an amazing team that I can afford to do this. And I have great clients on a national level where we can support these projects, but I'm learning how to do it. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Listen, kudos to my team. They just taught me, this is going to be embarrassing, but I will tell people on the radio, listen, if nothing else, you guys all know that I am I've always considered myself not a finished piece of work, that I am a work in progress. And I feel like if you ever get to the point where you feel like you are a finished work of art behind glass, that you've settled. Right. That, in other words, you should always keep striving. You should always keep improving. And I learned Google Docs, okay, for the first time.
Whoa.
As I look to turn 55 on the 26th of February, my team taught me how to use Google Docs, which my kids are probably they're slapping their foreheads right now. Like, why are you admitting this on the radio?
100%.
Honestly, I want to let everybody know that you can do it. Okay. This is me. Encouraging all of those of almost senior citizen age to say you can do it. And I believe in you. And if I can do it, the art guy can do it. The design coach can do it. You can do it. So anyway, listen, I have a topic today that we haven't talked about in a while, Nancy.
Oh, yeah. Is it the color of the year?
No, please. It's not color of the year. It's not technology. It's not Google Sheets or Google Docs. Okay. It's not any of that stuff. It's actually, have you heard of this thing called the sleep divorce?
Well, I have to assume.
Oh, you're going to guess at it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to guess that it means that the husband and the wife don't sleep in the same room anymore.
Well, that's part of it. It might even be room. It might even be bed and room, right?
Or it could be house. Like in my case.
That sounds like a real divorce. That does not sound like just a sleep divorce.
No,
like,
remember during COVID?
I can't imagine you're walking to your second home just to go to sleep.
Right. Okay? But remember during COVID, my husband and I owned places right next door to each other and we were remodeling one and we had already remodeled the other one and we were both working at home.
But I just don't know that there's too many people on the planet that would have had that arrangement. Okay. So I'm just...
Just saying.
I think the reason I want to get into this topic is because I saw this article pop up and I said, you know, it's been a while since we've talked about bedroom design. Mm-hmm. And it's been a while since we've talked about, you know, the way bedroom design is actually changing within our industry and what does that look like? And I thought this was an interesting way to sort of begin the conversation because I think, you know, traditionally the concept of the bedroom is, you know, typically if it's an adult bedroom, it's one bed. If it's, you know, a kid's bedroom, then there's a higher likelihood that it might be two. Right? Mm-hmm. Or if it's a guest bedroom, you know, whatever that arrangement is. But you know that I've been talking on the radio now for quite some time about the what I call resimmercial or like the hospitality sort of elements that now from hotels are finding their way into bedroom design and they're finding their way into wanting it to be both an oasis. In some instances, a little bit of a workplace, right? Like a place to maybe even like return emails or, you know, almost feel like more of a hotel vibe, a spa vibe than maybe like your traditional bedroom. Maybe.
Right.
Which we'll get into. But on this topic of sleep divorce, I wanted to start out with this. I mean, I could not believe this from the New York Post. This is from the American Academy of Sleep Medicine. And it's a study from December of 2023. And it's something called the sleep divorce. One in three Americans are keeping the sheets to themselves for improved health and the sake of their relationships. One in three. Mm-hmm. And you're raising your hand. You're raising your hand for those of you, it is radio, so there's no link here for you to see.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'm not going to go into too much detail, obviously, personally, but I will tell you that Julie and I are successfully cohabitating. So I'm just letting everybody know that, right? I don't have any issues on that front, right? We're good there. That's as far as I'm going to go with that conversation or that comment. But I will tell you that it is becoming one of those things that we are seeing more and more of, that we're seeing at least they want the option of, if people are having sleep difficulties, the option of where do you go and what does that look like for there to be maybe like a primary bedroom, right?
Right.
Formerly known as the master, right? Now primary bedroom. And as you now go to what, the secondary bedroom, right? Versus guest bedroom. Like, is that a thing now? And the answer is, Nancy, absolutely.
Yes, it is.
And what are the elements for the, let's call it primary bedroom light, right? What does that look like if you need a sustained sleep separation to keep things moving in the right direction? What does that look like? And had you heard of this at all? I mean, do you know many people that have a sort of separate sleeping arrangement?
Well, yes.
Well, other than you.
Oh, I don't know, because I don't really ask people, are you guys sleeping in the same bed? Like, that's, I don't really ask, but
I'm sorry. Not that you would go around surveying, but like of your friends.
Well,
like,
I'm going to now. Yeah. I do not. Well, I mean, I do know people.
You're gonna ask now.
Yeah. Well, right? Heck yeah. The health issue is a big reason, obviously, the only reason that I can imagine that people do this. And it's, you know, in my case, my husband snores and he tosses and turns a lot. And we do not have, now, if we had one of those mattresses where it's kind of, where when he moves around, it doesn't shake me all over and, you know, and all that, then it would be a different story. But if I want to get a really good night's sleep, I have to be, and this has come over age. This is gradual. Okay. We haven't been doing this forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And listen, we are now finding, especially these days, we're finding out how really important sleep is to your mental and your physical well-being. And they're taking sleep much more seriously. And it's interesting how, you know, as you begin to research all of this information and as clients come to you with needs, how the bedroom is being, I think it's really being reevaluated. In fact, in a report from on CNN, did you see the comment that Cameron Diaz made that we should normalize separate bedrooms?
Sure.
Right? Like it shouldn't be a stigma, right? I mean, listen, not that Cameron Diaz is like the leading expert in like, you know, relationships and or acting. But anyway. Total aside, I'm just letting you know that in this instance, reimagining and rethinking the concept of what the bedroom means to you is actually, of all of the spaces, maybe other than maybe like the primary bathroom or the kitchen, the bedroom is arguably the most personal space you will design. It is the most personal space you will design. And we do have, you know, when we talk to clients about what the overall design objective might be outside of obviously the creative objective, right? Remember, at the Design Coach, we separate our exercise within our studio into design and decoration. Not a lot of firms refer to it that way, but we believe design are the fixed elements, the way it functions, things that are not easily replaceable, things like cabinetry or millwork or the actual shaping of a space with walls or tile. And then there's decoration, which is, you know, the personal elements and the style elements that you layer onto the interior design. So we tend to separate as a general rule of thumb in the discussion, design versus decoration. And what we're finding in the design of it, the furniture layouts, people are wanting a couple of things. They are absolutely wanting the ability more and more to separate from their partner in case of a rough night's sleep. You know, no longer is it, you know, hey, go to the sofa, right? Like, it's okay, what does the secondary flop area look like?
Right.
And even to the point of, you know, what is the proximity to the primary bedroom of the next available bed?
Good point.
What is the proximity of the next available flop area where you might not disrupt your partner within the same suite, right? Like, we're designing in some of these homes entire primary suites where they almost look like a little mini hotel room where you have a sleeping area. The sleeping area is not connected to the bathroom open, right? There's a closed area. And then in addition, there might even be like a lounging area, right? Like in most hotel, like in a lot of hotel rooms, where you just find a different area to maybe stay up late and watch TV because maybe your partner goes to bed earlier.
Right.
You know, there are so many ways design, especially in very personal spaces, can be missed if you don't ask some of those really intimate questions when you're designing. Because remember, we design for people, not projects at The Design Coach, which is one of the things we're very proud of. But that means getting into the world of, hey, you know, if you're going to take a holistic approach to the way that you want your home to serve you and you not serving your home, which is where a lot of people find themselves, they tend to sort of try to overcome the deficits in their space functionally and visually.
Right.
If you don't want that and you want to reverse that and you want your home to serve you, which is what it should do, then you've got to design it correctly and sleep. And the bedroom is maybe where it starts. Right.
Absolutely.
So here's what I'd like to do. When we come back from the break, I want to break down the bedroom and I want to talk a little bit more about what it looks like to really make it personal, really make it special. And what new elements are we introducing sort of into the design of primary bedrooms and guest bedrooms and secondary bedrooms and even bunk rooms, where the bunk rooms aren't just for kids anymore? Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. I don't know about this sleep divorce. I don't know. I think that's an unfair thing.
Unfair to who?
Well, I just don't think it's labeled correctly. And good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we're talking about this study from the American Sleep Academy about 1 in 3 Americans are choosing to sleep separately, right, for their own mental and physical well-being. And I don't think divorce is the right term. I don't.
But remember, I don't think this is anything new. I think this is something that's come back because remember...
Are you going back to the Dick Van Dyke?
I am. That's exactly what I was going to say.
They have them sleep in separate beds because of censorship rules.
For
not
TV?
Because that's because of TV.
Okay, well, I don't know. And didn't Lucy and Desi sleep separately?
Listen, I'm sure that they did, but going back into the sleep habits of nocturnal activities between movie stars from the 50s and 60s, it's
just
not
saying.
Really the focus of the show, but I get it.
Okay. Well, I don't know. But they slept in the same room. So here's the difference. So
are they
sleeping in separate beds in the same room or are they sleeping in completely separate rooms or a little
listen,
both?
Listen, I think it depends on what factors. I think if you're a tosser and a turner, I think the double bed makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you sleep in the same room, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a snoring situation or a sleep apnea situation or something along those lines, then, you know, I guess it depends on how disruptive and also how annoying it is to your partner, because I think a lot of this has to do with threshold. Like
right.
I get it, but it doesn't just apply to, it applies to things like what if your partner isn't feeling well? Like
mm-hmm.
for instance, like you have a really bad head cold and you just keep getting up or someone has the flu, right? Like, I think that when you think about building the perfect bedroom and when it comes to, you know, this concept of what, you know, they're calling the sleep divorce, which is sleeping in separate beds or even in separate bedrooms, I think it's whatever works for you. Like I think we are now post COVID in the position of reevaluating what we believe to be the definitions of rooms that have maybe the definition has stayed static for a really long time. You know, like we're not seeing a resurgence of the formal dining room.
Right.
We're not.
No.
Like, we're just not. What we're seeing is I want a dining room I can hang out in for really long periods of time, right? That maybe is somewhat even more connected to the primary living spaces than ever before. And not necessarily in the form of open floor plans, but in the form of just being a place that is comfortable.
Sure.
I mean, And where they're, you're rethinking what it looks like. You're like, you know, for instance, where the dining room doesn't necessarily need to have a hutch or a server or a china cabinet and a formal dining room table with leaves. Those are being reinvented. So I think turning our lens to the bedroom is an interesting one on today's show, because I think it is intensely personal. And I think that that's exactly what it should be. It should absolutely be both inspirational, a recharge, an oasis. And I think not just putting descriptive terms to it, but actually putting function to it, I think is a really important thing for us to discuss on today's show. And let's start with the bed.
Right.
Let's just start with the one thing you know you need in a bedroom, okay, beyond a futon if you're under the age of 25, okay? Right?
Right.
And you're just sleeping on whatever, you're sleeping on whatever you brought from college.
A hammock.
I get it. But like, for those of us who are actively adulting, okay, and sleeping in normal beds, okay, let's start with the most important piece of furniture. And what does that look like? I will tell you, I know that not everybody has the ability to do a size hotel suite where you can afford two queens and
right,
a bed.
Right.
But I will tell you that, you know, it is one of those instances where if you can afford to do double beds and you feel like this might be something that you might want to entertain, I'm telling you, you can make it look beautiful and it can be functional if it suits your lifestyle needs. I don't think it's about whether or not it's one bed or two beds or even a bed in another room. I think it's about what works for you. And I will tell you, the double queen is interesting, as is the king and the cal king, meaning the type of mattress. And if you have a flopper, if you're married to a flopper, I will tell you that the bigger the mattress, the better the sleep. Okay.
Sure.
Because you can get the space that you need. And I will tell you, having a bigger mattress is really maybe, I mean, it's probably no different than having a separate bed. You're just at opposite ends of the mattress anyway. So
I remember when my husband and I remember when my husband and I first got a queen bed. We had a bedroom big enough to have a queen bed, and we had that for a
yeah,
little while.
And you felt like that was, you felt like you were like in a palace.
We thought we were sleeping in separate zip codes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no doubt that you had to send each other mail.
Right.
So I think when it comes to the bed, I think the most important thing that I can say about that is right size it for you. Right. If you like to stay in bed a long time, and you will return emails and you will watch TV and you can do it from a bed, which some people can't. Okay. Then you have to determine what the size of the bed is that you think is right for you.
Yeah. But okay? What if that size doesn't fit in the room?
Then you pick a different room.
Oh,
see, here's what I have found. I have found that often we're left with the footprint the realtor tells us was the primary bathroom without sort of mentally re-envisioning what that might look like.
Sure.
Now, I know that that's not possible for everybody, but I will tell you that when we absolutely evaluate things like remodeling and new construction, we actually are looking for these primary bedrooms to be much bigger than at the sacrifice of other bedrooms for a very specific reason, that you absolutely do need that to be your sanctuary and your oasis. And so that you're from the beginning, especially when it comes to new construction or your remodeling, that you're starting with that primary bedroom as the one that matters most.
Right.
I don't know that as we inherit real estate, and we inherit a lot of times when we buy real estate, we inherit someone else's lifestyle footprint.
Of course.
We literally inherit what they thought was the dining room, when for us it might be better as a den. And you might want to rethink and really dive into that bedroom that's slightly bigger than maybe your master, even though the bed or the bathroom isn't, and think about doing a remodel there so you can get the space and the size space that you need.
True.
If you can't figure out the bed piece from the beginning, it makes the exercise almost impossible. So let's talk about placement of the bed. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
These days, people are hesitant to place beds in front of windows.
Why?
Okay. Well, because sometimes these headboards that are big and upholstered, these headboards that might cover part of a window, you know, they just don't think that it looks quite right. I will tell you that, you know, I don't know. How do you feel about televisions in bedrooms?
Oh, yeah.
Are you a TV watcher?
Well, I have to fall asleep to the TV, and then I turn the timer on for it to go off in a half an hour or whatever, so that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Otherwise, that Rolodex that's constantly spinning in my head just keeps spinning, and I get up and think, I'm wasting time sleeping. I should be mopping the floor. So, right. So if I'm listening to the TV as a distraction, that Rolodex seems to slow down, and then I go to sleep. So, yes, we have a TV in the bedroom.
Yeah. So my first rule of thumb with finding the right spot for the bed is don't rule out any wall. I think it's really important for people to not just assume, oh, well, this is, of course, where the bed should go.
Mm-hmm.
This is where space planning and really pushing the puzzle pieces around on a piece of paper really is extremely beneficial. Because often what people will do is they will discount, I would say, the storage needs of a bedroom or overestimate the storage needs of a bedroom. For instance, if you're like, well, I want nightstands to have lots of drawers, and then those drawers end up holding junk. Right.
Right.
Like, can you actually get away with a nightstand that's 24 by 24 instead of a 36 inch wide dresser as your nightstand on either side? Really evaluating the puzzle pieces of a bedroom is in most cases, one of the most important spaces that you'll design and really have to drill down, not just in feet, but definitely in inches. Because I have seen the ability for people to say, well, the bed won't fit on that wall. And when they say fit, I use air quotes, because in their mind, it won't fit, even though technically it's okay to put nightstands in front of a window with lamps and have that natural light coming from right behind you.
Right.
And so therefore it's okay to put that bed so that the headboard slightly encroaches onto the window line, or it's the nightstands slightly encroach on the window line. For some people, that drives them crazy at the deficit of actually selecting the right wall for the bed, the right wall for the nightstands, and actually opening up a world of possibilities in other parts of the room. So dialing in on the right place for the bed really does entail trying all of your options. That would be my first piece of advice, was try it all, okay? Even to the point where, remember when I've said this multiple times, I say, right now I'm going through a primary bathroom remodel. I don't know if I shared
at your own house.
My own house. It's finally time for Julie to, you know, I drove really crummy cars, and my kids got really nice bedrooms and really nice bathrooms way before Julie and I did it. That was the plan, right? We knew that when we did it, but now it's our time, right?
Sure.
It's like our time.
Yeah.
And so I am designing this really great primary bathroom for us that has the heated floors that we've always wanted, that has the size shower that I've always wanted. And,
nice.
And Julie is so great. Julie has been great with just be like, you're going to make it look, I think I've finally worn her down enough to be like, I know you're going to make it look beautiful. I only want to say over the following things, right? Like,
just
it's awesome. I am getting more creative leeway than I ever have. Hopefully that's because I'm proving myself on a national.
Also, she's very busy.
Okay, yes, that's very true. And she's like, just get it done. But the reason I mention this to you is because I'm living right now what is right sizing. And I don't have the largest primary suite right in the world. I just don't. And so I'm trying to be super efficient with defining the desires and the needs that I have within this bedroom. And I'm finding that this is a very important exercise, because your day starts and ends in that room. You begin your day and end your day in that interior most of the time. So if you've thought more about your kitchen than your primary bedroom, you're missing something. If you've thought more about your living room than your primary bedroom, you're missing the mark. Really dialing in and drilling in on this particular aspect of your home is maybe what makes it feel the most like home. And in that are some elements that I want to talk about today, that even if you're sleeping in separate beds or separate rooms, which we'll kind of get into towards the end of the show, but I wanted you to get into these elements that define and make up the perfect bedroom. Like, what are the elements that make up what I believe to be really great elements within a primary bedroom or even a guest bedroom? But we're going to focus on the primary bedroom, that make that bedroom alone and that experience feel like home. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Link 96.1. Welcome back. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Link 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. Nancy, question.
Yeah.
So this whole concept of what the perfect primary bedroom looks like, right?
Right.
Do you have one element within your bedroom where you're like, I could not live without this? Other than your husband.
That never crossed my mind. I have to have a nightstand. Yeah, I have to have a nightstand that is adequate. I'm one of those people. I have a lot going on the nightstand.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, but otherwise, not really. No.
Okay. I will say that one of the things, as we begin the conversation of building the perfect bedroom and maybe what this really looks like. And, you know, in the last segment, we started with bed, making sure that you're not ruling out any wall, right? Like, please take into consideration all options, because ultimately you can find elements that can work in front of a window. You can find elements that can work on the wall that maybe you think is less than ideal. But I will tell you the one thing that, you know, when you talk about nightstands, I will tell you storage in bedrooms is huge. And Julie and I are realizing that right now. We've lived without adequate closets and storage now in that house for almost 15 years. And I will tell you, it has been a constant challenge to have to bin up clothing, right? Bin it up seasonally, right? Mm-hmm. Have to then pull the bins out to then do the crossover and the change. And I will tell you that one of the things that I did that I wanted to mention to somebody is, if you have parts of your room and your suite that aren't working, please consider eliminating them. We ripped out our jacuzzi tub that we never used.
Ah.
And we took out the entire footprint of the jacuzzi tub, created an entire walk-in closet. Now, to be fair, not for both of us. It's not that big. It was not that big of a tub. It was not a swimming pool or a hot tub. Okay. I'm just letting you know, it was your standard jacuzzi style tub, which, listen, Julie and I are working too hard and we move too quickly to bathe in that way for long periods of time. And we also own a hot tub. So like, if we want a nice soaking, relaxing environment, we're probably not doing it in that room. So the decision was made that really needs to be a closet. So what means more to you? And in our world, doing the evaluation between storage and a bathtub, right, was one where the trade-off for us was relatively easy.
Right.
I think people are hesitant to give things up, but I will tell you that all great design is about curating it to your lifestyle, but also realizing if you're only going to use it occasionally, you have to determine whether or not it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about in the fashion industry, my daughter, who's a fashion and marketing major, reminds me of this cost per wear, which I've mentioned to you. In other words, you know, if you're going to buy something expensive, but you're going to use it every day, you know, you divide that by how many times you're going to use it. And obviously it's, you know, less than a cup of coffee a day, right?
Right.
Depending on what it might be.
Right.
But if you're going to have a jacuzzi tub and you're only going to use it once a year and it's $9,000, what are you doing?
Well, if you're going to have a jacuzzi tub, if you're going to have a jacuzzi, which is basically a hot tub in your bathroom, why wouldn't you just have one outside where everybody can enjoy it and it can be why take up that space in your bathroom? I mean, is that a thing anymore? Jacuzzi tubs in the bathroom?
I don't know. Here's what I'm finding. I am finding that there are bathers and there are non-bathers. Now, I don't mean they don't take baths, they don't clean themselves.
Right.
What I'm
bathers and showerers.
Yeah, sorry. There's bathers and showerers, okay? and I will tell you that in so many instances, some of these bathtubs just become decorative.
Yeah, or dust gatherers.
Sometimes that real estate is too valuable, okay? Functionally, from a lifestyle perspective, for it to be occasional use in the room you both rise and sleep in.
Yeah.
I can't stress to everybody enough that if you want your home to feel and fit correctly, if you want it to feel and fit correctly, then every square foot has to matter. You can't, and I don't care the size of your home. I don't care if it's 2,000 square feet, 200 square feet, or 20,000 square feet. The exercise should still be the same. Every square foot should have a purpose, should be intentionally designed. and should be something that you use on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. If not, then it's superfluous. And what's going to happen is you're going to find that it's you're just never going to get the utility or the value out of it. You're just not.
Right.
And it's never been more important than in the room, again, that you rise and that you sleep in every day. Right. And so when Julie and I were sort of going through this exercise to sort of talk about storage, the nightstands are really important because I do know a lot of clients that don't have adequate closet storage, but then continually pick nightstands that don't have dressers, that are undersized, right?
Right.
That don't understand the concept of the high boy, which is like the seven dresser, seminier is another term for it. The taller, skinnier, dresser that has smaller drawers for things like socks and underwear, right?
Right.
And t-shirts. You know, there or, are we're
but
finding,
wait a minute. But wait a minute. That, what about the bases of these beds that have drawers and stuff in them?
Excellent point. That's another one.
I mean, there's a lot of solutions there.
But especially for things like sheets.
Yeah.
And blankets. Especially in the Midwest, where we sort of change our bedding based on season, mm-hmm. or at least we layer our bedding based on season, that the manufacturers are coming up with beds that have, right, these sort of storage capabilities within them, and you wouldn't know it.
Right.
I think that storage is one that we don't talk about enough in our primary bedrooms. And when we do, we primarily think closet.
Yeah.
But we often don't think furniture. You have so many more furniture options than you have closet options. You have so many more manufacturers to choose from. And it is one of those elements that's both decorative and functional, which most of the time your closet is not. I mean, I'm not saying that closets can't be decorative. They can. We've designed some amazing closets. Don't get me wrong. Okay. But it's sort of like for an audience of one or two. Okay.
Right.
Right. Whereas, you know, your master, sometimes I have clients that, you know, listen, the first floor master is a thing now, right? Where people don't want to go up and down stairs as they age.
Right.
The first floor master is now becoming more of a thing. So the master now has become more almost like, you know, we're doing sitting rooms off of master bedrooms and primary bedrooms. You know, we're creating living spaces off of it because it becomes another wing of the home. Mm-hmm. It doesn't become a place where you just sleep. Right.
Right. Makes perfect sense.
It becomes much, much more of a wing of the home, and it's connected to major parts. You're not going upstairs, right? To retire. You're not retiring to the bedroom, right? And then, you know, your chambermaid or your valet is meeting you up there, right? Like, to get you ready for bed. Like that. No. Can you tell that I'm watching The Gilded Age?
Something. Like, Downton Abbey.
Like, no doubt. Seriously. But that's not how it's working, right? It's becoming the master and the primary suites are becoming a part of the first floor in many instances.
But you talk about all the time about function, 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 function. And that is no better example than anything about people and thinking forward, way forward with regard to function. What they need right now, they may be able to go up and downstairs and all that's great right now, but they're thinking 10, 12, 15 years in the future when maybe they can't go upstairs. So they're listening to you, right? Because they are thinking about function and not just functionability today, but mm-hmm. in the future. But you're right. If you're going to do that and you take up that space on a downstairs level and you're going to shut off your upstairs at some point in your life, pretty much, then yeah, you better make sure that you've got enough storage and everything to exist on that one level. Otherwise, having your bedroom on the first floor but having to go up and downstairs, it sort of defeats the purpose.
Well, it's interesting, Nancy, that you bring that up because we're seeing the resurgence of the ranch.
Oh, I bet.
Mm-hmm. You're seeing lower level walkout and ranch one level.
Right.
Versus two-story.
Yeah,
we are seeing
some
of that.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. If you're not thinking about bed placement and really making it so that you think about all options and you're not thinking about storage in your furniture, including your nightstands, I do see so much wasted space in some of these primary bedrooms.
Yeah.
That I absolutely refuse to not bring it up when I talk to clients about, listen, let's maximize that. Especially these days with all of sometimes the electronic devices that people want, an undersized nightstand is, it gets cluttered.
Right.
You know, we're dealing with that right now. Like Julie and I, we know our nightstands are undersized and we're actively searching for the right piece of furniture. And I'm looking at this and saying, listen, I have some width to give here in the room. I'm going to encourage us to go with dressers so that we can keep additional clothing and additional items in storage.
Right.
But we also have, you know, a lot of stuff we keep on the nightstand and it does get cluttered and it keeps it from feeling like an oasis. So the minute you think that it's just about storage, it's not. It's about organization and storage and the way that that makes you feel in this very important space.
Right. Because who wants to walk into that bedroom or wake up in the morning and immediately see, ugh.
It makes you so much more tense.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And then when you think about these storage capabilities, I think that they can absolutely be decorative. And so the furniture package matters. I am a fan of, I don't believe that you need a lot of wasted space in a bedroom because I feel like you're either dressing, getting ready, or you're horizontal. Okay.
Right.
And so if you don't have room for a seating area, which I do think is a really nice, listen, if you can do it and you can find a space for it, I really do think seating areas are great, which we'll get into. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have room for that, don't undersize your furniture because you want the room to feel bigger.
Right.
Because it's a little bit of a myth. You know, it's a little bit of a myth. It's if the bed placement matters and storage matters to you and you need to give up another 6 inches on the bed or on the nightstands, go a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because when you're in that bed, you're not going to feel it because you're not walking around.
Right.
And trust me, you wake up in the morning and if you don't have a bedroom where you're lounging in it like a suite, you absolutely do need, right, to be able to maximize that storage opportunity.
Well, it's not like you're going to have a crowd of people in there either. Like, well, I don't need a dance floor.
Right. I mean, I guess if it's the most intimate of spaces, then the audience is very small.
Well, I would hope so.
Right. But it's a family show, Nancy. So really what you're looking for is you're designing it really for you.
Mm-hmm.
And really the optics on this, I think when it comes to the marriage between function and sort of decoration, so design and decoration, would really be, you've got to make sure that the pieces aren't undersized because you're trying to give it away to negative space or air. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think what people find is they're afraid to go bigger with a piece because they feel like it's going to be crowded. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times that could be overcome with a lot of the space planning that we do with the design coach to show them how the puzzle pieces fit together. If you're not doing that for your primary suite, that's an absolute must.
But at the beginning of the show, we talked about the fact that the sleep divorce issue is creating the need for two primary suites.
Yeah.
So do you use the same theory on both suites or do you go smaller on the bed in one of them and put more storage, like you said, dressers and things like that, and then have the other one be a little bit more opposite than that with bigger bed, less storage? I mean, seems to me like the sleep divorce people have the advantage here because now they can double up on everything.
I think we're seeing in the homes where we've done it, and we are seeing almost equal elements in both.
Right. Makes sense.
Right. That it's not one or the other, but that you're outfitting them and you're designing them in these great ways to be able to accommodate a great experience in both.
Right.
And when we come back for the break, I want to talk about these other great elements that make for building the perfect bedroom. Right. When we come back, you're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. Happy Sunday. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano, and we're talking about building the perfect primary suite. It's been a fun conversation. I wouldn't have thought that the sleep divorce would have kicked it off as successfully, but I did leave with that.
Well, I think that, like you said, there's a lot more people than you think that are doing that. And because, I mean, you're asleep, right?
Like, to me, it makes a lot of sense.
Exactly.
I get it. And you're right. I do think it...
I think people should pay very close attention, though. But I absolutely do, too. And I think that people should pay very close attention, though, because if you're going to do that and have two suites, you get to use two ideas. I mean, that's also creative, like a jackpot, right? Because you can design one completely different from the other and enjoy both styles of decor. Oh. Like, that's
hands
cool.
down.
Yeah.
No, hands down. And in addition to that, in many cases, these master suites are getting designed. These primary suites are getting designed with two bedrooms, a living room, and a primary bathroom.
Ooh, that's cool.
It's almost like a small little wing.
That's cool.
In fact, in one of our recent projects here on Geneva Lake, again, you've got a gentleman's quarters, you've got another room, and then you've got the sitting room that joins them together.
Love that.
I mean, I will tell you, I think that this is probably going to be a thing. And I will say, you know, anybody who's known any spouse that's had to go through a surgery or recovery, or, you know, there's a multitude of reasons, not
COVID.
Just snoring and flopping.
I mean, we had to start
whatever it might be.
We had to start doing all of that and considering all those options a couple years ago. And now it's become a trend.
But I think that I think this will become more the norm.
Yeah,
I really do. I think that if you're having, especially if you have that guest bedroom that never gets used, and so many of us do, so many of us have that guest bedroom that just doesn't get used all that often, where you might as well outfit that guest bedroom, right, for a separate sleep experience from time to time, because it just might make things run more smoothly, right?
Well, and it's not like it can't go back to being a guest room.
I don't know that. But that's where I don't think sleep divorce is the right term.
Yeah, it's not.
Right? It gets everyone's attention on the radio on a Sunday morning.
Of course.
Like, what the heck is he talking about? Right? It makes people read the blog and House Beautiful. I get that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's a divorce. I think it's actually, I think it's the opposite. I think, if anything, it's sleep sanity. Okay? Like, it's totally a sane, totally an appropriate lifestyle choice, right?
100%.
That maybe shows max love, right? And something way more opposite than divorce. So that's just, I wanted to make that note, because I want to springboard into, if you can afford with your space and you can be very efficient, I wanted to mention some of the other elements that we're putting in these bedrooms that I think are key.
Okay.
I will tell you that some level of refrigeration in the form of, you know, cold water into these beverage drawers with a small coffee station, it is something that we are now outfitting. Everyone's house now is becoming a little bit of a version of a Airbnb. Okay. Or like a little bed and breakfast.
Right.
Like
little soaps.
If you want to introduce a little bed and breakfast into your experience, I will tell you, you will not regret the small coffee maker in the bedroom.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Especially in guest bedrooms. Okay. In fact, we are outfitting beverage carts in so many homes now. It's almost becoming as normalized as a dresser.
Right.
Right.
Makes sense.
Where, of course, I would want my guests or me to have access to bottled water so I don't have to go to the kitchen. Of course, I would want to just make a cup of coffee so that I'm not quite ready to see my family yet. And I want to just, I'm not ready to engage with the world just yet. So if I go out there, I know that I'll wake the dogs and I will have to engage on my morning.
Right.
And I'm not quite ready. I need, from a position of self-preservation, to be able to just pour myself a cup of coffee and turn the TV on and sit for a minute.
Right.
If you don't have the ability to do that in this primary suite, I think you're missing out. And everybody has a corner for a beverage cart. And everybody knows how to use a Keurig. Even if you don't drink coffee and it's tea.
Right.
I will tell you, that's just as beneficial. And we've been outfitting these bedrooms with all these great beverage carts and all these sort of beverage accoutrements for a while now. And I will tell you, to me, it is a must-have. It's an absolute must-have. Some of them take it even further. I think at minimum, a beverage cart is a must. Okay. Now, how do you feel about benches at the ends of the beds or benches in general? Okay. Cause I have a love affair with two things, full length mirrors. Okay. I just like the way I like having the ability to back away and be able to see myself get ready. Right. I think it adds a really nice element and touch to a room, but I also like the bench. I like drop zones. Right now, unfortunately, I'm using a swivel chair as a drop zone on a regular basis for folding clothes, for traveling and living out of my suitcase as I do these days as I travel the country doing design. What I'm not liking about that is I would love to be able to have a bench like in a hotel or even like, dare I say, a luggage carrier, that like that fold up luggage thing where you can put your suitcase on. I'm literally thinking about getting myself one, and Julie travels for her work as well. She might like it also. I guess I'll find out after today's show.
We have a bench. Say, yeah, it's useful.
I like those elements, and if they do allow you the ability to have a drop zone that's not a dresser, and the ability for you to have a drop zone. And I will tell you, drop zones are key because we do a lot of laundry. We fold a lot of clothes. We tend to actually fold a lot of clothes in the bedroom because they happen to be both of our clothes.
Right.
Okay. Because our kids, so we're doing them in the room so we don't have to carry them in baskets.
Right.
So I will say drop zones, I think, are key, and upholstered drop zones, I think, are even more important. So the bench and the full length mirror, I like. I'm also a huge fan of a seating arrangement if you can get it. And I am a fan of millwork. Okay. You've known this. Okay. Now let me tell you where these two things play in my world. I am realizing that as I begin to craft this primary suite that I'm currently working on, I'm bringing in a lot of the elements that I talk about on the show, which is I love bringing in millwork because I feel like the more millwork you have, the less accessories you need. In other words, the millwork becomes the charm.
Right.
And like I have said on this show, at the detriment and to anger, you know, the drywall contractors, no one ever said, hey, you know what? You got awesome drywall. Okay. No one's ever said that. Okay. Now what they do is they say great wallpaper. They say great paint color. They say those things, but drywall is a stage. It's a beginning. I'm a fan of millwork. So what I've been doing is I've been thinking about the ways that you can use charm in a space and not have to do it through accessories, but you can do it by adding millwork, and you will never ever be disappointed by adding more millwork into your space ever.
No.
If it's in the form of shiplap, if that's your thing, if it's in the form of vertical siding, if that's your thing, if it's in the form of beamwork in your ceiling, I will tell you, in primary suites, look to create charm or a millwork opportunity that has a little bit of extra. Have, you know, put the money into the primary suite to make the primary suite special. And I think millwork is a great place to start. I also think seating is an amazing place to start. You know, right now, our bedroom isn't designed the way that it needs to. So we're using these swivel chairs as drop zones. But in the new design, we will have a space where we can sit down and maybe watch that movie, not in our living room, right? But actually in the primary suite, to be able to say, you know what? How often do you fall asleep to a show and your husband or wife falls asleep on the sofa next to you?
Right. All the time.
And then you got to nudge them and be like, come on, honey. Like everybody's done that. I will say that if you can afford the space and you can do it in your master suite, one of the trade-offs I have seen is, do you need the king? Can you do the queen? And can you make space for a seating area, even if it's one chair and a half? Often, people want to be together in the same room, but the glare from your screen or your phone can disturb your partner sleeping next to you. What if you had a chair that you could sit in on the opposite end of the room, be in the same room as you're retiring for the evening, but the glare of the screen was not in their eyes?
Right.
That's very hotel-like, right?
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know that anybody has dialed in on the studies of what people like more than hospitality. Okay. So why aren't we using the lessons in hospitality, right? Taking away the stigma a little bit of what we think bedrooms traditionally should look like, and say, how do I introduce the hospitality? How do I introduce it to make it intensely personal? And you know me, I've encouraged people. We want to encourage people to add personality into their spaces because we feel like it's different and it's fun.
Right.
And two things will never go out of style. That's personality and risk. If you're unique, right, and you take a little bit of risk with an interior, even if it's not everybody's taste, but you love it, you'll never be disappointed. It's when you go vanilla. It's when you waste space. It's when you don't take advantage of the opportunities in square footage and storage and functionality and decoration. It's when you bail, right? And you just accept the design you're given instead of intentionally creating the design you want. Now, whether that's a primary bedroom or that's a life or that's relationships, it's all the same. But the primary bedroom being the focus of this show, I think people are missing a huge opportunity this spring to not rethink that. I mean, obviously I'm living it right now. So well, it's top of mind for me.
Right.
But I think it should be top of mind for everyone.
But and if you are going to redo that, if you're going to redo the primary, or again, going back to having two primaries, so to speak,
yep.
You have just increased your options. You've just doubled your options. Because maybe you take that bigger bed out of both of those bedrooms and you can create the seating area again because, you know, do you really need that king? Or if you're really sleeping separately, two doubles, a double in each room. And that gives you so much more space to have the seating area or have the, you know, the little breakfast bar. And I mean, I really think that, again, you are just opening yourself up to so much opportunity with having the two rooms that you can, two rooms, two optional primary bedrooms. Why not?
You know, it's interesting because we talk about seating. You know, I always like the look too. My wife is a very avid reader,
mm-hmm.
and she loves books. She loves books. I'm going to try to find a way to put. You know, we're gonna find a way to make that something that I think is the. I think bookcases are charming,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, I'm not going to have a bookcase at the detriment of a walk-in closet.
No.
But I will say that, you know, I don't know that I'll get this, but I think that we are seeing, because I don't know that it fits the way Julie and I live, but I am seeing a resurgence of desks in the room.
Sure.
A place to just sort of, right, at the end of the day, or it becomes another private oasis during the day, that maybe the primary bedrooms aren't just for sleeping, right? And for retiring and waking up. Maybe they're becoming rooms that you want to be in every day.
Well, think of all the options you can do with that desk. I mean, that's where your coffee maker can go. That's where you know. Right.
But I think on today's show, I'm encouraging you on this Sunday morning to rethink the primary suite. Rethink what that means for you and how valuable that real estate and that square footage is. Anyway, thank you for listening on this Sunday. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Have a great day, everybody. You've been coached.